Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakulskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is Mike Madden, who is out with his third installment in the land of Tom Clancy. This one is Enemy Contact. It's the latest Jack Ryan Jr. novel, available now wherever your fine books are sold. Mike, these books are so wonderful because there's lots of plot spoilers you can come up with in interviews that I want to avoid, but realistically, you've got a dual story here. You've got Jack Ryan Jr. trying to shut down a syndicate that is releasing CIA secrets, and he also has a friend who is dying of cancer who has a last request for him. So as you ran these two parallel stories together, what was it about these two stories that made them work for the same book?
Well, that's a great question. All of our lives, we have more than one thing going on. We never have the privilege or the luxury of just sort of coasting toward one target. And so just for the sake of realism and the sake of keeping the action moving forward, I always like having at least two stories, sometimes even three. And for me, the thread that sort of binds these two particular stories together is this idea of Jack Jr. He's a man of his word, and when he makes a promise, he keeps it. And really the tension I wanted to develop in this story was, yes, he's on a typical Jack Ryan Jr. mission, going to Poland to combat, you know, the enemies that we all hope appear in novels like this. But what's really sort of eating at him was this deathbed promise that he made to his friend, and he's got to keep that promise. And a deathbed promise doesn't seem nearly as cataclysmic, or doesn't seem to have, the consequences. I mean, so what if he doesn't keep it? So what? I mean, the dead friend won't know anyway. I mean, it's very easy. I think a lot of us throw promises around and don't keep them very well. But that just isn't Jack Jr. And so I really wanted that tension in him, even as he's keeping the promise of, you know, fulfilling the mission that he's been sent on.
Well, I thought it was interesting about bringing in this relationship Jack Jr. has, and such a meaningful relationship with his friend that had nothing to do with the campus. It was outside of a work relationship. And as you probed into that area of Jack Jr.'s life, what was it like to tap into his mind to see how he would handle a relationship that is completely independent of his incredibly dangerous work?
Boy, what a smart question. The challenge in the genre in general, I mean, the tropes are, and I mean that in a positive way, but, the sort of the markers of the genre are that you want certain things to happen, and the general expectation is good guy with a gun goes after the bad guy with a gun, and mayhem results. And I love that genre. I've always loved it. I was a reader and a fan long before I was a writer. So I get it, and I embrace it. But having said that, though, how do you push beyond that? How do you go even deeper and better in that kind of genre, which I'm always trying to do, even on this novel, I try to push beyond my normal boundaries of, you know, what does a typical action story look like. Having said that, though, I think the other thing that can be done and should be done is to go deeper inside of each character. And so I'm trying to explore Jack's interior life and his mind and his emotional state as a character, as a genuine character, as he's moving forward in the series. And so for me, stepping out of the campus context and out of the genre context into a private personal relationship was the perfect opportunity to go somewhere into his character development and into his interior life that you otherwise wouldn't see, because he's not, you know, aiming down the barrel of a Glock 19. He's staying in the bedroom of an old friend who's dying. And so what does that stir up in him, and what does that feel like? And, I lost both of my parents within, ironically, 6 weeks of each other many years ago. We've all lost friends and loved ones, and the emotional state that you're in when you're in proximity to that, and the effect of it after they passed, you know, immediately after that, is a place I've been before, and I know many of my readers have been, and so I want to take Jack Jr. there as well.
Is it easier to do that with a character like Jack Jr.? Because, I mean, these are the smaller novels of the, and it's the smaller stories, not smaller novels, but a smaller story in the Jack in the Jack Ryan series.
Novel, right?
No, exactly. But, you know, what I'm saying is, though, that the Jack Ryan Jr. stories are generally on a smaller scale, the actual work stories of him. So does that give you the freedom to explore these different characteristics?
You know, that's another great question. These are great questions. Thank you so much for being so thoughtful.
Sure.
Um, you, you're exactly right. The junior novels come out in the summer. We'll call them the senior novels. The bigger novels, focusing mostly on the president, come in the fall. And Mark Cameron is the one that writes those. He's a great writer and a great guy. I'm a huge fan of his, period, full stop. So, yeah, my books are more focused on Jack, and so I get to spend more time with Jack. And usually a couple other members of the campus on and off. So, yeah, so someone like Mark Cameron in the fall, he's moving lots of chess pieces, lots of characters, lots of big events. And so I don't just think he doesn't have the bandwidth or the page count to go deep, you know, very deep on a lot of characters. So you're exactly right. I'm perceptive of you. Because it's a smaller story, a mere 468 pages in this case, I do get to spend time on Jack's interior life.
Well, Jack Jr. always reminds me of JFK Jr. to a certain extent, and I wonder if he has the same thoughts, because I always got the impression JFK Jr. wanted to become an actor, didn't want to have any part of that Kennedy legacy, be a politician and all that stuff. Do you think there's any element of that playing in Jack Jr., that he's only doing some of this stuff because of his name and because of his lineage?
Well, yeah, that's an interesting question. As I was originally, when I first got the assignment to take on the franchise, I did some deep diving into Jack Jr., and Teeth of the Tiger is where we first meet him, and Jack Jr. is actually a creation of Tom Clancy. It was relatively early on, and then he went back to other kinds of stories, but he's the one that gave birth. And in that original story, Jr. actually comes to the campus and kind of almost forces his way onto the staff without his dad even knowing. And it's only after a while that his dad finally figures out, hey, you work for Jerry and you work on the campus, oh my word, but by that time he's been established. So actually I think it's the dynamic I've played off with Jack is that he's a young man, he literally bears his father's name. By the time, as I wrote in this novel, when his dad was his age, his dad had already been married, had been in the Marine Corps, had already made $1 million as an investor, was working for the CIA and was a college professor and had a PhD in history. So he always feels like he's two steps behind. And so while he never feels pressure from his parents or his father to be like him, he's had this role model put in front of him for so long, lived out in front of him. I think internally he feels like, I need to live up to and measure up to this guy. At the same time, though, he's his own man. He's not trying to imitate his father. He's trying to be himself, but live up to the standards that his father set in the living his own life. So it's an interesting tension to be his own man and yet having been so deeply marked by a man of impressive credentials and life achievements.
I'm chatting with Mike Madden about his latest book, Enemy Contact. It's the latest in Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan Jr. series. The book's available now wherever your fine books are sold. One of the things I always loved about Jack Ryan Jr. is he's a very human character, not just the stuff we've talked about, but he's the only tough guy in novels that I know that ever ends up in the hospital when he gets the crap knocked out of him. That's something important to you to make him real that way, right?
Yeah, I just, you know, again, you want your action hero to be able to throw a punch, there's no question, and take a punch. But if you've ever been hit with especially a solid object, my physics isn't all that good, but I happen to know that every action has an equal and opposite reaction. And so if you're hit with the butt of a steel pistol and it's cracked into your skull, you're going to feel that. And of Hollywood tropes notwithstanding, of, you know, giant haymakers smashing into jaws and then get up afterwards and drink a beer. When Jack gets thoroughly throttled, he's in pain and he's hurt and it needs to be attended to. And that's something that I bring into my writing. And I always have in my drone series. I did the same thing. Because violence has ramifications, first of all, physically, but also psychically and emotionally. And those things accumulate over time.
You mentioned your parents earlier. I know you grew up kind of in Central California, the San Joaquin Valley, very, very working class area, right?
Yes, sir. It's I think still the most productive farmland in the world. But it's acres and acres and miles of tomatoes and grapes and dairy farms and turkeys and chickens and everything else. So yeah, it's a giant agricultural area, very working class. It has its own beauty for sure. There's nothing like seeing, you know, a row of corn to the horizon, or, you know, cattle on some of the low hills as you get up into the foothills, but definitely working class part of the world.
Well, and then I thought it was interesting. I know you work in slaughterhouses, and we have those around the area here. That's an experience when I talk to people who worked in there like no other, because you see some of the most brutal violence at a slaughterhouse, and yet it's a job that, because of our economy, is needed. What was that experience like for you, and how did it influence you as a man?
Well, yeah, I mean, I was relatively young at the time, and I've worked basically since I was at least 9 years old, getting paid by my dad to clean his bar on Saturday mornings. My parents both worked very, very, very hard. My mom especially. I mean, she was driving a forklift at Diamond Walnut and Del Monte Cannery on the midnight shift with arthritis in her spine until she literally couldn't do it anymore. Hardworking people, and both children of the Depression, and so grew up out of that ethos. And so they really passed it on to me without really ever saying a word, just watching their lives. So it was kind of natural for me to fall into that sort of same pattern and into the same kind of work environment. Yeah, it's, what did Winston Churchill say? I mean, about, like, democracy and making sausage? I mean, I'm not a vegan. I enjoy, in fact, I had a wonderful ration of bacon this morning. but seeing how it happens, seeing that, you know, animals are killed, the shedding of blood, it does give you, it grounds you in the realism. You know that when you go to the grocery store that the ground beef and the plastic packaging didn't come from, you know, a warehouse. It came from an animal that literally died. And so, the shedding of blood is a big deal. And I think that the world we live in today is so disconnected from the land, from the shedding of blood, from nature. I think we've lost a lot as a culture and as a people, including the work ethic, by the way. So I'm grateful for those times. I'm glad I did it. I'm glad I worked in the cannery. I'm glad I was raised in that kind of environment. It gave me a deep respect for work. And I hold the work that folks do in a cannery with the same respect, if not more so, than the work I'm doing, you know, now. Just, you know, sitting behind a computer writing novels. It all takes hard work. All work is valuable.
A few years ago, I was in Dallas, and a friend of mine who I met down there took me to the Half Price Books, the flagship. I see that's on your tour this year, and I know you lived in Dallas for a couple decades. So that bookstore, it's amazing. And to think that you're going back to do a reading there, I'm sure it's a place you visited when you lived there and were not necessarily a published novelist.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. No, I pinch myself every day. I can't believe I'm doing this. Listen, like I said, in some ways, it doesn't feel like honest labor, like when I used to work in the cannery or at the slaughterhouse. The life of the writer is a solitary one, and you sit in a room and you sort of talk to imaginary people by yourself several hours a day, and it's quite satisfying. I'm sort of naturally designed for that kind of a life. Then to step out and then see your name on a book cover, it was stunning. I remember the first time I did a four-book series with Penguin Random House before called Drone, and they flew me out to New York to meet with everybody at Penguin, and it was a great time. But as I was coming home, I was stopped in was walking by a bookstore. I didn't even think about it, and on the corner of my eye, I saw my book. Boy, that was just the greatest moment and yet the most surreal. It is such a privilege and an honor to be a writer, to be a published author on a masthead that has had names like Hemingway and Steinbeck, to which I aspire and will never achieve. It's just such a privilege to be a writer, and I take it very, very seriously. I bring a work ethic to it. I hope that is reflected in the pages. I don't take it lightly. For the Tom Clancy franchise, I owe so much to Tom Clancy. I loved Hunt for October. I was a Clancy fan before I was ever a writer. Had no idea I'd be a Clancy writer someday. And I take that responsibility as a fan as much as I do as a writer when I write these things. So.
All right.
Half-Price Books. The Mothership is going to be awesome.
Yeah. All right. The book is Enemy Contact. It's the latest Jack Ryan Jr. Installment in the Tom Clancy series. It's by Mike Madden. The book's available now wherever your fine books are sold. Mike, just fantastic book that you've written here, and I've enjoyed all the ones you've written in this series. And thanks for being with us today to talk about it.
That's so very kind of you, Brian. Thank you so much for having me on your show, and really, I appreciate the great questions. They're awesome.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakalskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.
I walk 47 miles of barbed wire. Use the cold snake for a necktie. Got a brand new house on the roadside. Made for rattlesnake hide.